IATSE Local 891 presents Apple Box Talks,
the podcast where we get to talk to the very best in entertainment, the artists and technicians of 891.
From prep to post and everything in between, we create worlds on screens of all sizes. Welcome to Apple Box Talks. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Hillary. Taking the Apple Box this week is a CAFTCAD nominated newly initiated member to 891 who already has a number of impressive credits to their name, such as Hecademia, Poison Love, and Turner and Hooch.
Today we welcome costume designer Sarush Mathur. So pull up an Apple Box and let's talk.
Welcome, Sarush.
Hi, thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Thanks for coming today.
So you're one of our newly initiated members. I think you get the credit of the first newbie in the chair.
Ooh, it feels good. Yeah, I just got my membership in Christmas time last year. Well, just January last year.
Right in the middle of the pandemic?
That's right. Yeah, it was a Zoom initiation and it was great.
So what drew you into 891?
Well, the benefits are always great, but also just the opportunity to work on amazing projects, like big projects that Vancouver hosts.
So talk to us about because the permittee process is probably a little more fresh for you than it is for other folks.
Yes.
Talk to us about what you did to actually fulfill the requirements of that permittee application and the experience you needed to get before actually approaching that process.
Yeah, I mean, I started my film career not long ago. I've only been in it for almost 4 years now. And I initially just started volunteering. I knew some costume designers from working in retail. I just was meeting some people and did a little bit of volunteering with my friend Claudia on some Hallmarks. And I did a little bit of commercial work too. And from there, I was able to start building my film resume. And once I had, I think it was a year's worth of experience, then I was able to submit my application. And I think it took another about 8 months or so to get invited to apply for the membership.
And can you talk to us about what kind of specific costuming skills you had or developed? Did you take any education or training in any areas like stitching or...
I actually went to fashion school. I studied at Blanche McDonald's and the business merchandising or the fashion merchandising program, I should say. And from there, we kind of touched on all the different aspects of the fashion industry, film being one of them. And from there, I wasn't sure where I wanted to go in my career. The dream was to like move to New York and do PR and, you know, that kind of thing. But I ended up starting to work at Holt Renfrew, and I was in the personal shopping department working as a coordinator. That's where I was meeting a lot of costume designers, and I just was asking them about their day. I was just really intrigued by their jobs. I thought it was so cool and I just wanted to know more. And eventually I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. So I took a leap of faith and I started working for free to get the experience I needed. So that honestly, fashion school was a good help in terms of like fashion knowledge, because, you know, that does help a lot. But it was the on-hand experience, like on the job experience of learning through trial and error and, you know, being under the gun and having to figure it out. That's really how I feel like I built some really important skills that have helped me in my career.
What are some of the skills that you feel you were able to bring in from your previous experience into the industry?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like my fashion knowledge and my love of styling and my understanding of textiles and fits and, you know, what's flattering on what body types and just my knowledge of different, like being able to reference different fashion houses when we're trying to do something like really high fashion. I just feel like that brings a different perspective in. I know there's a lot of people that work in the costumes department that went to film school or studied costume design. And there's a lot of similarities, but it is different at the end of the day. Costume design is more about creating a character, whereas fashion is, you know, turning looks, stunting, looking pretty. So yeah, I feel like that's what I bring that is different from other people's experiences, but there's so much more for me to learn in terms of like the actual costume aspect. And, I'm excited to learn more. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And you're on the actual path, final goal designer, right?
Yeah, I do eventually want to be a designer. I am a designer. I do like to design. That's going to be in the future. I feel like I have a lot more to learn. I want to make sure I fine tune my craft before I delve into that world.
Yeah. And so I asked that question because oftentimes it's a case where you want to reach that lofty goal, and mm-hmm. you have to really sort of, you know, have the goal and deconstruct from there and figure out what it is, you know, that's going to build your CV to get there and yes. your skill set. And so I know that you do costume buying as well. Can you mm-hmm. talk about what that job entails and, you know, the first job you had and then how you went to buyer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first job I had was working on set. I was dressing background, which is lots of fun. After that, I was working on the truck for a little bit, and then I ended up, I actually went right into assisting with Odessa Bennett, my good friend and mentor, which, you know, really for those smaller shows, when you're assisting, you're doing everything. So I was buying, I was coordinating, I was doing it all. So going into buying was fun for me because it was something that I did when I worked in retail. I was buying for customers. I was, you know, styling people. I was figuring out what they need and making that happen. And buying is like that as well. It's, you know, it's chatting with the designer and asking, like playing detective a little bit, asking all these questions to be able to create the picture of what it is that they want. And then the fun part is going out and finding it, you know? So spending other people's money is always fun.
Have there been any surprises for you coming from like real world fashion where you would buy something or design something that would work on a person, but then on set that doesn't translate? Like, have there been surprises of stuff you've been asked to create?
It's generally like the kind of surprises that I've encountered is like when, you know, they'll have a blue screen or a green screen and guess what? We bought blue or green for them. You know, mm-hmm. that's always a fun thing to figure out last minute. But no, generally speaking, the surprises come when there's a breakdown in communication and what we thought was good needs some tweaks last minute. So that's kind of the biggest challenge, I would say, is just being adaptable and figuring it out on the spot.
I worked with Lorraine Carson, costume designer of To All the Boys when I was on that show.
Oh, yeah.
And as you probably know, that was like, it's a high fashion sort of show. Mm-hmm. And her story about finding the chain of heart dress. And it's this kind of like, you know, very sort of beautifully cut, but very, very straightforward sort of sundress, right? Mm-hmm. She might disagree with me, but she found it and then it had discontinued and she found the last one, I think, in France. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any buys that you found that you were like, ah, this is the only one? Yes.
Well, I mean, most recently when I was working on a show, I can't remember, Resident Alien 2, I found this amazing jacket at Moore's. You know, it wasn't anything special, but it was the perfect style that we were looking for. It was this tweed blazer. It's gorgeous. It was on clearance too. It was only like $50 or something. It was a great price. But we weren't able to locate another one and we needed multiples of it. There was only a few showing in the Maritimes or something on the other side of Canada. So that was the challenge there, was just to try and get them to convince them to send it to us because they don't like to send their clearance stuff. It just isn't I don't know, it's their company policy. So then that required me calling, you know, Nova Scotia and asking the people at that store to help me out. And it was took a lot of convincing, a lot of begging, and eventually we were able to get some sense. But there's nothing more stressful than that when you find the piece and it gets approved by the producers, the director, everyone loves it. And they're like, great, we now need four of them. That's the tricky part, you know?
And why do we need multiples of costumes in film?
Well, in this particular scene, the actor was wading in the water. So we just need multiples to do resets. If he falls and gets wet, then we need to be able to provide a fresh one for him. So...
And you use them on stunt folks as well, right? Like sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If we have a stunt double or a photo double, or if there's any like stunts with blood or anything like that, then we need to be able to swap it out and start over. Mm-hmm. I also actually was I'm currently working on a Christmas show, and it's August, so that's another challenging one is sourcing Christmas winter clothes in the middle of summer. It's been tough, but we've been making it work.
So looking back over the last 4 years, what advice would you give yourself starting out in the film world?
Ooh, what advice would I give to baby Rushi? I would say write everything down, be kind to yourself, and we're not saving lives, we're making movies, so don't take everything so seriously.
I think that's a really, we've heard that now a couple of times, and mm-hmm. I think it speaks so much to the need to find balance as a film professional, because it can be so all-consuming. So mm-hmm. how do you establish that balance for yourself? How do you keep your eyes in perspective?
It's putting on a relaxing song. It's going for a walk when you need to get out and get some air. It's taking, you know... taking water breaks, that's so important. It's so easy to get caught up in, you know, all the excitement and stop taking care of yourself. So that's something that I've really made a priority for myself is to drink water, eat food, go for a walk, and just reminding myself that, you know what, it's all going to work out. It always does work out in the end, but we can be so hard on ourselves and get so worked up about, you know, what could happen, but it always works out, you know? So it's just about reminding myself that and just taking a bit of a chill pill.
The coordinator I tangentially worked with used to say, take a breath, remember that this was funded by sales of cat food.
Exactly.
Talk to us from your perspective, from your design perspective. How does costumes fit into the overall vision of the film? And because when you clothe an actor, you're actually clothing the character, the tone, the intention mm-hmm. of their journey, kind of, right? Like, mm-hmm. how would you explain that?
That's a great question. I mean, when it comes to creating a character, building a character, I feel like, first of all, it's really important to be collaborative. Some people have tunnel vision and they forget that there is so much that others can bring. The actor themselves, even, you know, they tend to have a lot of ideas about what the character should wear. That's something that I think is really important is collaborating and really taking in what others think too, because they might have something to offer that you didn't even think about, you know. But when it comes to creating a character, it's really about, I just imagine this person in their day-to-day lives and, you know, where do they eat? Where do they shop? Where do they hang? What do they do for fun? You know, what colors would they wear? And then we can go into texture. There's so many things you can do, small little details that really makes it a huge difference when it comes to portraying a character. So it's just about really kind of delving in and researching and asking people like what do you think? You know, having a conversation, it's so important to be open to that, because it can really give you an opportunity to create something even better.
And how do you handle those challenging moments where you know the director or the costume designer have a very solid opinion on what it is they want, and mm-hmm. you're trying to fit that on an actor who may have a differing opinion? Well, how do you mm-hmm. navigate those waters? Because it's very important.
It's tricky. It really depends on the situation. But there are some people that have very strong opinions, and there's some people that are a little bit more chill. So sometimes you just have to cater to one person more than the other. But it is a balancing game, really. You really want to make sure that the actor is comfortable and they feel good in what they're wearing. Because if they don't feel good in what they're wearing, then it's going to be a flop, right? And, you know, there's also some great directors that are very, you know, trusting of you, and they trust that your vision is right, you know. But in those situations where you're kind of having to please, you know, different opinions, then that's when it comes down to a balancing game about, okay, let's compromise. I know that you want to wear this. Well, they want to wear that. So how can we meet in the middle? And sometimes you just have to say, listen, the actor wants to wear this. They, at the end of the day, they feel good in this. Do you want them to feel good and comfortable on set? Like, it's kind of about making it about practicality sometimes too.
So looking at your pre-interview survey, you referenced that the first movie you remember seeing was Titanic, and that you couldn't believe anyone would make a movie so sad, but you loved the costumes. Is there one that still stands out in your memory?
One costume? I mean, everything that Rose wear was fabulous. I think when Rose and Jack first went on their date and they went for dinner, she was wearing a beautiful dress, and that, like, I still can see that. I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but I can still see that dress in my head. So, but it's hard to pick, honestly. Everything was fabulous. Even when they were dressed in schleppy clothes, it was still fabulous. So I loved it all.
And so you talk as well about some of the work that you're most proud of, and that was the short film that you worked on. And it's interesting that, you know, when you look back on your career, sometimes it's those little nuggets, those little gems that you did when you first started out that are actually the ones that are blaze in your memory. Can you mm-hmm. describe what that was?
Yeah, absolutely. The movie was called Hecademia, and it was a sci-fi film set in the future. It's a teenage girl who is going to school, virtual reality school, who falls in love. And it's a queer love story as well. There was just a lot of opportunities. It wasn't too far in the future, so we just had to make some minor tweaks to sell that it's not too far in the future. But it was just a lot of fun. And it was my first real experience designing a film. You know, I've done fun creative projects, kind of making costumes for friends and for music videos and that kind of thing. But that was my first, like, you know, designing. And I was a co-designer on that, by the way. I co-designed with Odessa, who I love so much. But that was just a great opportunity. And then for us to get nominated for a CAFCAT for that was so exciting. I was so thrilled for that. It was a really good feeling.
So for our listeners that might not know, can you tell us what CAFCAT is?
The Canadian Alliance of Film and Television Costume Arts and Design.
And why is it beneficial to be a member there? Do you know? Are you a member?
I'm actually not a member, but it's really beneficial because it gives you exposure, and it's an opportunity to meet other people across the country that are like-minded as well. And they also offer a lot of training programs and courses online. I think they really upped their game during the pandemic doing that. So it's a great resource, and I will become a member very soon. And I just should also add that Hecademia is a film by Gloria Mercer, who I loved working with. Gloria is an amazing filmmaker, and we're working on another project coming up in a couple of weeks, actually. So I love working with Gloria.
Fantastic.
So for those who are less familiar with costuming, can you describe your process when you start with a character or a script and you have to dress someone? Where do you start?
Well, first we have to break it down, break the script down, and figure out how many changes they have. That's kind of an important thing for budgeting. We really need to know how much money do we need to make this happen. And then, you know, are there any stunts? Do we need multiples for anything? But once we have that kind of laid down and we know how many changes we have and per character, then it's about building a mood board, researching, finding reference photos of what we think the character would wear and what colors we think would, you know, they would wear. And then it's putting it together on a mood board and presenting it to the directors. And then we're having a discussion about it and they can say, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. I was envisioning more of this style. So yeah, that's kind of where it starts is really just finding photos or drawing. If you can't find a photo, drawing, doing a sketch to portray your idea.
Do you have any go-to pieces that you revisit often, or have you bought anything that you're just kind of holding on to for the perfect character?
Ooh, there's some really great vintage stores on Main Street that I've been shopping on because, you know, finding winter stuff is tough in stores right now, but the vintage stores have it. And there's a beautiful coat that I bought the other day that is going to stay in the collection until we find the right show for it.
You mentioned earlier dressing background and that it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Can you give us more details about that?
Yeah, so dressing background is basically speed styling because you don't have a lot of time. And, you know, especially on the lower budget shows that I started in, you don't have a lot of help either. So I remember dressing, you know, 50 people once by myself. And it's fun in the terms that you just got to be really quick and have a look at what they brought. Boom, boom, boom. This, try it on and then move on to the next person. I just kind of love the rush of it all. That was really, when you think about it, background dressing is one of the more creative positions in film. Other than the costume designer and the assistant costume designer, background is kind of, you can have a lot of freedom to express what you think looks good on people. And obviously people can ask you to change things up, but I loved that so much because I actually felt like I was really contributing my creativity to these projects when I was trusted with dressing background.
I feel like I should ask you to help me Marie Kondo my wardrobe, not based on joy, based on, does this look good on you?
And can you do it quickly?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. They should do a challenge, like how many looks can we get you dressed in 5 minutes or something?
Can you come to my house? I read in an interview once that for X-Men, everything Patrick Stewart wore had to be specially tailored so it would look good with him sitting down, because as Professor X, he's in a wheelchair the whole time. Have you had to face those kinds of challenges that you've had to think a little bit outside the box?
Well, honestly, off the rack is not, it's not made for every body. So most of the time we do have to do alterations on things. But I'm trying to think of a specific time where we had to do a lot of alterations on something. It's generally, you know, with the curvy ladies that are, they have hourglass figures and, you know, they look amazing, but the clothes are not built for their bodies, you know? So that's a lot of alterations and tweaking, and it can be challenging to find the right fits for certain body types. And luckily we work with amazing seamstresses that, you know, can make that happen. But I'm trying to think of a specific time. I can't really think of one right now.
What about designing, you know, things that need to be set on fire, or like actors that, you know, that have to go through mega stunts? So are you considering different fabrics? You know, we had another guest talk about the MSDS sheets, what clothes are comprised of chemically so they don't light a fire, or anything, any considerations like that you've had to make?
Well, we did have to We did have to do some breakdown for a suit on a show that I worked on that the guy was burnt in a fire, like a stove fire or something like that. So yeah, we had to do a lot of breakdown to sell that, you know, he's been burnt, but we didn't want to actually burn the suit because that's, you know, not so good. You don't have a lot of control when it comes to that. We had an amazing breakdown artist that was able to give the illusion that it was burnt without actually doing it. But yeah, in terms of, I think when it comes to like fabrics, the trickiest part is just making sure that it's fashion, but it's also function. So like, for example, linen is really tricky on set because it wrinkles so easily and it's really hard to keep it looking fresh, and especially for continuity reasons. And it's, you know, it's just going to give your set team a headache. So it's about finding the fabrics that still tell the story, but without making the actors uncomfortable and, you know, making it easier for the set teams. So luckily there's a lot of technology now. There's a lot of fabrics out there that look like linen, but they're not. so yeah, it's just about making sure you do your due diligence to make everyone's lives easier.
So we were able to do a really interesting interview with a set decorator, mm-hmm. and they alluded to a lot of the ways that set decorating and costume often can kind of work hand in hand. Can you speak a little bit about to that?
Yeah, I can. Absolutely. we work with set deck quite closely on a lot of shows, and the art department in general, because we really need to make sure that the two worlds come together, you know? And especially when it comes to like wall colors, like you don't want an actor wearing a blue suit and all the walls around him are blue as well. Like that's just, you know, not going to look so great. We work closely with the art department to make sure that everything's gelling together nicely. It looks believable because we're not just creating a character, we're creating a world, you know? And if those don't meet in the middle, then it's not really going to sell that story.
So project yourself years in the future. You're Sarouche Mature feature film costume designer for gigantic films. What does the film look like? What is your ideal sort of dream design?
I would love to do something like Euphoria, you know, something kind of fashion, but also lots of really strong character building. I also love sci-fi and queer films, so anything like that could be really fun. Horror. I did one horror show and I loved it, and I want to do more. There's just so much opportunity for fun in those.
So I'm a huge sci-fi nerd, and I have to ask from a costuming perspective, why all of the jumpsuits in silver?
I don't know. That's a great question. I guess they're trying to find some sort of futuristic textile that really tells the story. But it's funny, too, because it's like, as we progress, I'm finding that more sci-fi is very muted. It's very grays and beiges and, you know, earth tones. It's almost like projecting that the future is regressing to the past. And I kind of love that spin on it. It's not all, you know, tin foil and pointy hats. It's, you know, it's becoming more nuanced and unique. And I like that.
That's an interesting commentary on that, because actually, you know, the future is here.
Yeah.
You know, and so that kind of vision of it really just integrates it into our everyday life. I mean, our cell phones, more technology in there than the first rocket ship to the moon, right? So
absolutely.
That's a very interesting observation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you wanna say in general about the film industry? Anything you wanna talk about, like the future of costumes or where you'd like to see?
The future of costumes, which I'm seeing, and not just costumes, but film in general, is becoming more diverse, and I'm loving that. We're showcasing people of color more. We're showcasing queer people more. There's just more opportunities now for people that didn't always have those opportunities. And IATSE is doing a great job in spearheading that. You know, I know that you guys are doing your diversity surveys and you're really wanting to put that effort in to make everyone feel included. And I love that. So really, I just can hope for that to continue and create equal opportunities for everybody.
One of the critiques of some of the creative industries like this, where we're constantly sourcing or creating new material, is the concerns around sustainability. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that and how that's going to affect costume in the coming years?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, luckily we have a lot of brands and stores that are also kind of jumping on that bandwagon. Even H&M has like a conscious line now. But I do try to avoid stores like that. I try to avoid the fast fashion stores when I can. And I love to give money to local designers, local businesses. I love to provide that opportunity for people. And I'm also loving vintage shopping when I can, because there is so much out there, so many great, unique pieces out there. It doesn't always work when you need multiples, or, you know, that can be tricky, sizing and all that. But yeah, I really wish that Vancouver had more rental houses, to be honest, because if we had that resource, then we could really make sure that these pieces are not just used once and discarded. You know, not that they're discarded. We always find homes for them. You know, we'll have a set sale if it's not going into storage. But yeah, I just really want to stress the importance of reusing pieces and finding new homes for them, repurposing pieces whenever possible, because we are a society that is so, everything's disposable, you know, and film can be like that sometimes too. So it's good to just remind ourselves, you know, that the fashion industry is the second largest polluter in the world, next to like fossil fuels. I think
it's a big one.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
So yeah, just being mindful of that and not buying willy-nilly. Like, we need to buy with purpose and return as much as we can.
Yeah, yeah. How do you keep your creativity fueled to have fresh takes on each new script and each new character you come at?
I think taking breaks is really important. I think taking, you know, going on a vacation, taking a week off, don't burn yourself out. Jumping from one show to another, it's really hard to get excited again about creating another world, jumping into a new script. But also the people that you work with, it's so important to work with people that inspire you to be the best version of yourself, and people that are just fun to work with, people that are nice to you and treat you with respect. Like, you know, I'm lucky to have a little film family that I am working with right now that I absolutely love working with them all, and they all inspire me and they give me energy, and I feel like I give them energy and inspiration too. So yeah, surrounding yourself with the right people is super important, and go on a vacation once in a while, mm-hmm. really go lay on a beach. Yeah,
the work will be there.
Yes. Yeah.
So for a lot of people who enjoy watching film and television, they can often think back and think of an iconic costume that is kind of forever ingrained in their brain. So they think of like the Men in Black, you know, head to toe penguin suit with the glasses, or they think of Princess Leia's golden bikini. Is there a standout costume that just has just been impressed upon your brain as a costumer?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's so many good ones. I mean, everything that Queen Amidala wore in Star Wars, yep. Right?
Yes. Yes.
There she wore that big red gown, mm-hmm. with, that was the drapey with the long sleeves, and oh my gosh, amazing. So much detail, fabulous, lush textiles, the shapes, the structure, I was here for it all.
I can think of, I'd like to know yours too, Hillary. And I would say mine, when I was really little, we had the three channels on our television, right? And we had the turn dial on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not that old, but we had one of those TVs. Okay. And, Gone with the Wind came on. Though the contents of that film are what they are because it was made in the time it was, I can just remember Scarlett O'Hara's dresses and just thinking, whoa, like it was a 4-hour film and commercials in it. And I sat there and watched the whole thing.
Yes.
And mesmerized by this woman's jewelry and her costume and just the big fluffs. And it was just mesmerizing. So that's what costumes can do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What's yours, Hillary?
I was raised on a healthy diet of musicals and Star Trek. So The Sound of Music, the curtain dresses. I wanted a curtain dress so bad so that I could sing with Julie Andrews in the fields.
I'm loving that fantasy for you. That's gorgeous.
It was my dream. And The King and I. I was in a musical production of The King and I. I think I was... Siamese Prince 12. But I watched that musical over and over and over again. And the same thing, the big dresses next to the traditional, now we would say tie, I guess, outfits from that movie with Yul Brynner. And then, of course, Star Trek. I wanted the go-go boots. I wanted to be Uhura on the bridge. That was my life. As a newcomer... Often the union gets criticized kind of as a big impenetrable fortress that new people are trying to get into. Now that you're in, how do you, what are your hopes for the future of the union and how we can stay relevant in this changing world?
Well, I mean, I love that that there is a lot of different representation. There's people that have been in the union for a long time, and then there's a lot of new people in the union now too, bringing fresh, young energy, which is great. It's also super important to have these veterans of the union so that we can learn from them. But my experience, honestly, has been, you know, the teams that I've worked with, I was a little intimidated at first, to be honest, working on these big union shows. Everyone's so professional and, you know, it's very different than the non-union world. But I've been lucky to work with some really great people that are super friendly and a joy to work with most of the time. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, for people that are trying to get into the union, I just like your reputation is everything. So don't burn bridges with people, treat people the way you want to be treated and give it your best shot. And if people see that you work hard and that, but you're fun to be around and you bring good energy to the team, then they're going to call you and they're going to ask you to come back. So that's, you know, the first impression is the most important one.
You know what I love about just listening to you and your answers and your stage of your career is there's so much passion and vibrancy and potentiality and, you know, thinking about a diversity and equity and thinking about sustainability. And you have that lens already. And I can only hope that that is something that, you know, everyone coming in and even those of us who have been in a long time can really gravitate towards. So really appreciate your perspective today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Sarush, and giving us your fresh perspective. It's been so refreshing and lovely having you here.
Thank you so much, Crystal. And thank you, Hillary, for having me.
Thank you. It's been great. And that's a wrap for another episode of Apple Box Talks.
For more episodes and to find your fit in the film and TV industry, check out ourwork.ca.